I've had my fair share of dumpy roads.
Thank you, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yes.
In a Volvo ad.
The muscles from Brussels, motherfucker.
I forgot that was his nickname.
It's a terrible nickname.
It's not that bad. It could be worse.
It's very... that nickname doesn't age well, I feel like.
He's aging well, though, so I think it's... He is. I think it works.
Cocaine normally does that to you.
Yeah. Cocaine makes you invulnerable.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, guys. Welcome to another episode of Two Bros, One Flick. Sam and Andy here, as always.
What's up?
How are you, Sam?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Feeling good.
Are you?
I'm feeling good.
Taking I've your got emergency? A
tingle in my dingle.
Oh, okay.
And I've, taken an emergency. Does it sound like I'm coming down with something? I don't feel like I'm coming down with something. But I was like freaking out in class today. I was like, hey, dude, is it fucking hot in here to you? And everyone's like normal. And I'm like sweating my balls off.
Well, I was also like outside right before you asked me that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just like when I eat fried chicken, I just get all warm inside.
Yeah, it raises the blood temperature. Oh, that's why they don't allow fried chicken at the old folks' home.
Fuck no, right? Also, old folks' home, one of the highest rates of STD transmissions. On average.
Just like Texas Tech University.
Basically.
It's also why they don't allow fried chicken on campus.
Ooh, you don't want that herpes chicken.
You can't have the hot food at the law school.
Nope. Because people rub it all over.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. So today we're going to talk about Congo. 1995?
Yeah, 95.
95. This was after Jurassic Park. Everyone was like, wow, that Michael Crichton book did great. Let's do another Michael Crichton book called Congo, which came out in 1980.
Yeah.
The book apparently is supposed to be quite good.
Apparently.
Then, according to...
Allegedly.
According to other people, that the book, the guy who wrote the screenplay for Doubt wrote the screenplay for this, and he did not even read the fucking book.
You're telling me about that. Like,
yeah.
He is John Patrick Shanley?
Yeah, Shanley.
Yeah, John Patrick Shanley. And he also did more recently.
Oh, fuck. He did Moonstruck.
Oh, yeah.
Joe versus the Volcano. These are fantastic. Like, well, I don't really like Moonstruck, but critically acclaimed movies. You know?
What do you mean? You don't like. What's her name?
Cher.
Cher, that's her name, yeah.
And Nick Cage together.
Yeah, that movie was really awkward. They show that on regular TV all the time.
Oh, yeah, it's always on basic cable. Isn't the gist of it? I watched it when I was in like elementary school, but it's like an older lady finds a younger man.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dicey.
And I think he has a unibrow in that movie. I can't tell. But he also wrote Doubt.
And directed Doubt.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Doubt was pretty awesome.
Now, who directed Congo, my man?
Frank Marshall.
Who did... Was he just a big-time producer now?
He's been a big-time producer since the 70s. He directed 8 Below, which in 2006... And he directed Arachnophobia. Those are probably his...
Arachnophobia is probably like the biggest one.
Yeah.
Which I haven't
seen. He also directed Alive, which is just funny because there's an episode of The Simpsons in which Marge has a great fear of flying, and Homer tries to resolve it by going to the video store. Video stores are places back in time where you could go and basically check out movies.
Don't forget to rewind.
For some money, yeah. And then
after
you're done watching, you rewind them and you leave them back at the video store.
Yeah.
For those kids that don't know what they are anymore, because Blockbuster has been bankrupt for the last 4 years.
They had a great internet service.
Yeah. Apparently their last movie checked out was in Hawaii, and it was This Is the End.
Oh, that's actually really funny.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
That's the last movie to get...
in Hawaii, that rental probably costs like $10. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I mentioned Alive because Homer rents Alive, and then it has the very goofy ending.
Nice.
Where they're just like, thank God that we are all alive. No thanks to that plane. And then like Marge gets all freaked out again. It's great. The Simpsons are amazing.
Solid.
Nonetheless, Frank Marshall also directed 8 Below.
Is that the one with Cuba Gooding Jr.? Which is the one where he drives the sled dogs?
No, that's Snow Dogs, isn't it?
Yeah, it is Snow Dogs, you're right. This is Paul Walker.
Yeah, this is Paul Walker.
Equally shitty.
From 2006, in which two Antarctic explorers have to lead their team of sled dogs behind.
Slut dogs?
Oh.
Okay. I want to see those.
Nonetheless, John Marshall, not super... Not a super prestigious.
Oh, yeah,
director.
He has more undeserved opportunities than lots of people.
Yeah, he's no Steven Spielberg.
He's no Steven Seagal either.
Oh, well, Steven Seagal is almost
with
not
his sex slave secretaries.
Yeah. His life must be pretty awesome, though, if you think about it. Like,
oh,
he
yeah.
To,
well, he was being sued, actually, because of his lawman thing.
Does he even
thing.
Know that he's being sued?
Well, it was something like the New Orleans Police Department decided to, like, bowl over someone's house with, like, a tank. And, like, Steven Seagal was there.
Oh.
Like doing it, and then like you know, I think it was. I don't know if it was like a police brutality thing, but it was like you know,
what's
you guys over like?
Yeah, it's clearly an overreaction to whatever
yeah.
happened. Yeah,
excessive use of force, and then Steven Seagal was brought in on that because he was deputized like in the 80s to be to be a cop in New Orleans.
Didn't Shaq get deputized to be a cop somewhere
at like a golf course?
No, he had a TV show where he was a cop, I think.
Oh my god, that's amazing. But Steven Seagal Lawman is a great show because all the cops just look like fucking pissed off, like, man, this guy comes here like once every 6 months and just rides with us, and then he tells us what to do.
The production team is probably paying the cops.
Oh, the cops look so annoyed too. She's like, shut up, Steven, shut up.
That's everyone's reaction to Steven, except for probably Joe Rogan. Dude, what if Joe Rogan and Steven Seagal had a show together?
That's probably in the making.
It's like Joe Rogan asks Steven
Seagal. Oh my god, that sounds terrible.
To question everything. That'd be pretty awesome.
That's crazy.
I'd fucking watch
that shit.
That could be a podcast on its own.
Oh yeah. So Congo, man, it wasn't a flop in the box office. A shit ton of people went to
see
it.
Okay, so the way we heard about this is we were listening to a different podcast.
Yeah.
What's that one called? It's like the
How did this get made? It's the Paul Scheer podcast.
Which is a great podcast.
They are fucking amazing.
He's very funny, and he's extra funny when he's hating on movies with
his
friends.
Yes, exactly.
I hadn't heard about this movie because I am just not interested in movies associated with...
I grew up wanting to watch this movie.
Baboons. I really don't like...
I grew up wanting to watch this movie because that's an iconic... That's a fairly good shot
for a cover.
And the cover, here's the other thing. It was a video game as well, and it was one of the first ones.
Oh, it was one of the first
movie and video games. I was like, "Shit, this!" And this is like 95. So how old was I? I was 8. No, I wasn't. I was like 7. How old am I? I was born in 88.
Yeah.
So it's 8 years, roughly 8.
Yeah.
That's... And I remember seeing that. I remember seeing the Congo for the Sega Genesis, and I was like, holy shit, this is a movie and a video game? It's got to be great. And you could always rent it. You could always rent it at the video store.
Oh, Blockbuster.
Oh, I know. So I was like, wow, this movie's got to be legit. And Congo was all over the place for a long time. And do you know the how much it made? I know the budget was very substantial, but they made it like threefold.
The budget's, I mean, comparatively speaking, it's not even that much. The budget was $50 million in 95, and the box office grossed $152 million, which is just ludicrous if you saw this movie. Because if this movie looks like it's made for $20. If you saw this, if this movie came out today, no one would see it, and Rotten Tomatoes would give it like a 10%. Because it's really shitty, and it goes... We were talking before where it goes to show you like how much technology like the internet, like communication systems, have gone to make us skeptical and just more intelligent about things that come out on film.
Well, the other thing I was thinking
is as if they didn't do any research. They're just like, that sounds believable. Let's have a weird talking monkey.
Well, it's a lot of the stuff I think you can get away with in the 90s, especially, or up until widespread internet usage, is something like...
So you'd say up until like 2002?
Sure. Because like up until that point, everyone would read the reviews of the newspaper or not review and be like, I just want to go see it.
Yeah.
And like movies like Anaconda or like movies like big budget movies.
Super Troopers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is a gem on its own.
Well, think about it. If Congo was up on Rotten Tomatoes, it would be like a 0% fresh.
Probably on Rotten Tomatoes, but it's probably
Well,
like
the
100.
Aggregate is too low probably. Or it's like 14 reviews or like this movie sucks.
Yeah.
Right? But think about... like the word spreading to be like, wow, this movie is shitty.
Yeah,
You know, Congo had like some fairly like
I was 10% off. Congo is on Rotten Tomatoes with 43 reviews, and it's at a 21%, 7% for top critics.
See, and it's one of those things where it's like, well, maybe this guy in Houston only hated it, but I'm not going to see what Ebert gave it in Chicago because I have no way to tell.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah, you wouldn't have an easy way to read. Although, I mean, you could watch the show.
You could watch the show, but you wait
until
Sunday.
But, like, even if you missed the show, because the show came on pretty late at night.
Yeah,
I think I think Ebert and Roper came on, and Siskel and Ebert both came on like at 10:30 or 11:30 at night, which is sort of late.
Yeah, well, it's late, but it's just one of those things. TV. It's kind of like, you know, I think it could only have done well in that time. It could not have done well now, especially when you have like a proliferation of information like this on the internet, which is awesome. I do like it.
Yeah, it's it's nice, but it's also kind of like
it's like, one of those movies where it's like I think people like. Like, if we saw, okay, here's the thing. If we saw the Counselor trailer when we were, like, in the 90s, right?
Everyone would have been like, that's going to be the movie of the year.
And everyone would have gone.
Yeah.
And then everyone would be like, oh, joke's on us, right?
That was actually, no, people would probably be like, this is crazy awesome. I've never heard of this.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. Yeah. Right? But I think it's like stuff like that. That would have done fantastic for the same reason because, like, we really wanted to see that. We're looking at the trailer, it was like, oh, this is going to be pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, it looked cool.
And Congo was interesting because I think it was like they're on the Michael Crichton high.
Yeah.
And, like, Jurassic Park was so fucking fantastic. And I think people went in with the assumption that the special effects would be just as good. But, a tidbit of information, they did not have enough money in the budget to realistically
render CG, the skin.
Yeah, render the, hair for the monkeys to run around.
Yeah.
So, it's obvious. You see, like, where like the head part of the costume,
the costume
meets the body part, and it's like big folds.
Yeah,
you know, and
kinda
then
like, kind of like the Wizard of Oz. Oh, but yeah, 30 years later.
Exactly, exactly. Like, those monkeys look better than fucking Wizard of Oz, man.
That's because they're wearing little suits.
Yeah, little suits. Yeah, this one was just—it's bad. You don't. And here's the other thing: this is Congo. You don't see a lot of monkeys. You don't see a lot of monkeys until like the very end.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's true. See, like I was like kind of. Going
you're
back
in and
forth
out, yeah,
for the movie, but yeah, it. I mean, I'm pretty sure I caught everything that was worth watching.
It's really
and
stupid.
Like, yeah, there's not really a lot of monkeys up until like the last maybe 25 minutes.
Yeah, you're being generous. I say it's like in that last 25 minutes, monkeys in the scenes like 25. I mean, 10 minutes out of the 25.
Except for the one talking monkey.
Well, the talking monkey is the only fucking monkey in the whole thing. how long is this movie?
The movie is 109 minutes.
Okay, it felt like 309 minutes. Okay, and that's part of it.
Why I'm confusing it.
part of it. It's such a slow build up, and then they're in the jungle, and then when they get to the jungle, it's like. It's just a ragtag group of people. So here, I'll break it down.
Yeah.
I guess since I watch it, I should be the one to break it down. Yeah. So you have a professor who actually will start off from the very beginning. Bruce Campbell goes to Africa to find this diamond for a communication satellite that will be like the next big cash cow for this communications company for his father's company.
Yeah, he's basically betting on this to be like one of those exponential increases in communicability. So it'd be like whenever people learned how to make superconductors and then we learned how to make smaller superconductors and we learned how to improve superconductivity with the use of, you know, like colder material.
Yeah, like this was gonna go from black and white to color for these guys.
Yeah.
So at the right at the beginning, you know, something goes awry when they're in Africa. They find the diamond, but monkeys attack them.
Also,
you know?
Some Hershey's candy.
Hershey's candy is consumed.
Yeah,
that's a good last meal.
the 90s, man, they use real chocolate.
Laura Linney, who is fantastic in almost everything she does.
Yeah, especially the Savages. If you guys Savages haven't seen it, not associated with the Congo at all.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
Not anything. That's just a really good movie.
Yeah, yeah. She's pretty good in that cancer show she did on Showtime.
The C word?
Yeah. C word.
I never saw that.
Solid show. The first two seasons are great.
How many seasons of there was?
I think it was three.
Okay. We had Showtime right when it came out.
Uh-huh.
And they had like all the promos for it. And we're like, oh yeah, that looks pretty cool. But we didn't think it would last more than one season.
There was only like one forced line in that whole two or three seasons that
really?
I was like, yeah, it's good.
Great job, Roz from Frasier.
Oh, yeah.
Striking it big. Like, you're doing a lot better. Yeah, she's actually doing, I think, much better. Fraser Crane.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
But anyway, so she's there and she is communicating with Bruce Campbell in Africa, realizes something goes awry. Their communication satellite opens up. She just sees like dismembered body parts everywhere.
It's pretty cool.
Then her, like the boss, which is that Bruce Campbell's father, says, you got to go to Africa and find my diamond. I mean, my son.
Hey, you're skipping over the best part. He sounds like a goofball Houston idiot.
Oh, yeah. It's in Houston. Yeah. Because all They're things super, technology.
He sounds so Texan. Yeah. It's bad.
Well, he's a fairly well-known actor, too.
Sure.
He's in a lot of shit, man.
Okay.
A lot of army movies, too.
No, yeah, I can believe
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so,
like a character actor.
Oh, he is. Well, yeah. He's the same guy in everyone, just like different clothes.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she's like, you know what? If I find out I'm going to Africa.
For this diamond.
I'm going to make you sorry.
I'm going to make you so sorry.
And then he's like, but I'm going to go find your son. He's like, thank you. I really want my son.
Yeah.
Okay, so that happens. She needs to jump on an expedition, okay? Flash forward to whatever college campus in California or something, and you have a professor who was a fairly big name in the 90s. I don't know.
That actor?
Yeah, that actor.
Let's see. You talk about it. I'll find out who the actor is.
And he has this monkey that he's trained to talk through sign language, and the sign language is even fucking sign language.
Yeah, it's actually kind of insulting, because on the Wikipedia page it says that they use American Sign Language, but really what the monkey does is kind of like wave his.
There's
arms
three motions.
Up and down.
It's always like jacking off, or like wagging her finger this way, or more jacking off, or like touching her mouth. So it's like jacking off, touch the mouth, hand in the sky, or like cock to mouth. And it's like, cock to mouth means like ugly woman.
Yeah.
And then he's like, yeah,
it's
ugly
like
90%, woman.
90% of the monkey's lines are ugly woman over and over.
Oh, yeah, like it was
or
funny.
Like ugly monkeys.
Yeah.
And shit.
So it's not even sign Stupid. Language, but she has this power glove that looks.
It actually does look like they just took one of those NES power gloves and then just painted it differently.
Yeah, yeah. They have a glove, and that translates her movement into words.
Yeah, because that's science, bitch.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah. And then they do that for like a 4-minute bit where all the audience are like, that's a fucking talking monkey.
Yeah, he has like an exhibition at the school, and that's where they meet hilarious Tim
Curry, who's Romanian, but it's the worst Romanian accent ever.
It's amazing.
Oh,
you
God.
Should watch this movie or just go online to find YouTube
Tim Curry,
clips of him
talking. Tim Curry, Romanian. It's
really
bad.
Good.
Tim Curry Congo will get you some great clips on YouTube.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. His accent sounds like... His accent sounds like he's trying to speak like normal, but pretending that he has marbles and jizz in his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And he can't.
And he's
got to
separate
the
marbles.
And
then he's like sitting, like a pear just got shoved up his ass. Because he's like, it hurts. Right? It's really, it's terrible.
It's fantastic.
And he's like, and so that's, it's like this ragtag group of people come up, and it's like they need, for whatever reason, the monkey, Amy is her name. Amy needs to go back to the Congo to be back
with
her people.
Okay, so what it was, this is really dumb. It didn't make sense to me. Okay, this is what it was. So Tim Curry sees the talking monkey. And
yes.
Like, wow, super impressive. And he's like, I'll help you guys do whatever you want. And then the scientist dude is like, hey, you know what? Amy has been drawing a lot of pictures of the jungle. She wants to go back to the jungle, so like we're gonna do like an experiment and we're gonna return her to the jungle,
right?
And so Tim Curry's like, that sounds great, man.
I'll fund it.
And then they get to the plane, and then Tim Curry's like, oh yeah, I don't have any money.
Yeah. The worst part about that, I think, is like, so Tim Curry was in the exhibition for that monkey.
Yeah.
You just see it close up to him, like, smiling,
right? Yeah.
And then
he has a secret plan.
Yeah, you could tell just by his face. And then the professor is talking to, like, the provost of the school, whatever.
Yeah, he's just
and the
like,
provost, they're, like, eating lunch in a park. And, like, he's like, we don't have money. And he's like, well, how are we going to get to the jungle?
And then Tim Curry shows
up. Out of fucking frame, you just hear him go, I will pay for it. And then everyone's like, yeah, I will pay for your expedition, right? And then they're like, oh, okay, thank you. It's not like, who the fuck are
it's
you?
It's not even like, okay, can we like make sure you actually have the financing that it's going to do something? I'm going to need you to go to a bank and
no questions asked. I'll fucking take you to the Congo.
These people are not, the provost is certainly not an attorney. Because if he was, that would have been the first question.
Yeah. who the fuck are you? Yeah. And so like the next bit is like Laura Linney meeting them up at the airport while they're loading shit up, and she's like, hey, let me get on this airplane. right?
Yeah, and
he's like, no, I don't want you.
And it's a little weird because apparently there's like civil unrest in the Congo.
Like all African nations.
And that's why Laura Linney can't just find a plane to go there.
She needs to go on a legit expedition.
But yeah, but for some reason, these nerds can go to Congo for like their Return an Ape to the Wild project.
It's a big time expedition. So then that whole thing happens where they're like, he's like, about it, I have no money to pay for the fuel, right? And then he's like, well, fuck. And then Laura Lynn's like, I guess I'm coming with you.
Yeah, I have infinite money codes, man.
But then they don't. And then they don't. They let Tim Curry on the plane anyway, that fucker.
Yeah, they're not.
I think
just...
he only paid for like half of it, essentially. He paid for like the plane. Yeah. He can't rent the fuel. He rented the plane. He can't pay for the fuel.
Yeah.
So that's why he gets to go, I think, right?
That's
and then
the
they get to
bet.
The Congo, and there's so much unrest going that they get smuggled into the country. Yeah. By the black guy from Ghostbusters 2, who is actually pretty solid.
Yeah, he does a fine job.
But he's also fairly campy, and it works for the fucking movie.
Yeah, that actor's name is Ernie Hudson, by the way.
Yeah.
He's still making films. I think his most recent thing was...
He's in Franklin and... Is it Franklin and Bash?
He's in Modern Family and Turning Point. He does a lot of TV shows.
Good for him.
Yeah, he doesn't do too much.
How I Met Your Mother. He does a lot of shit.
Yeah.
But like they go and they finally get to the jungle and they get smuggled into the country, get into some trouble there. And that's when you find out that Tim Curry's character is basically some weird treasure hunter who's just a scumbag and owes money globally. Like around the world, he has enemies.
Yeah.
And he's like, everyone thinks he's a sack of shit. But then, you know, it doesn't fucking matter. They get out of that and they get to go to the jungle.
Yeah.
And a man gets eaten alive by a hippo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you missed that. You're on the
computer.
I did
miss that, yeah.
That was like the best thing. The other weird part about it is like for a $50 million movie, almost all of it looks like it was shot indoors in a studio. Almost all of it.
Oh, yeah, it's all soundstage.
It's all soundstage. It's amazing.
Yeah, they didn't go on location.
$50 million?
Well, it's probably to pay Laura Linney. And
what movies had Laura Linney done before this?
She was in Frasier, which was a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
I don't know if Laura Linney was in super big shows prior. I mean, things before that. Let's see...
Law and Order.
Yeah, she was in Law and Order, and you know what? That's kind of it, actually.
Congo was probably... her first movie?
Yeah, I guess that was her first
movie. First, like, pretty big starring
that's
role?
That's her first
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, I don't know,
so
man.
So I guess, yeah, maybe it was just one of those things, like, maybe they...
Maybe it cost
a
lot
of money on Tim Curry or something?
I don't know, man. It's tough, because it's like... I mean, they did make their money back and then some, so that's good for them, but I'm just thinking, it all goes soundstage. They're just camp, and then they just camp in the jungle. Nothing really happens. They run into that hippo that kills a guy. They run into some natives who are all painted white.
That's some racist shit right there.
Yeah, it is. And then
I saw that. That was
and then,
cool.
Like, the monkey, and it's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. I could tell you everything that goes on, but it just doesn't make sense. It's there.
It's like they dick around.
We're
until
in the jungle now. What?
Yeah, they dick around until they find
the
where,
lost city.
Yeah, the lost city, which is where Bruce Campbell was at the beginning of the movie.
And she finds out everyone's dead there, and then they go, and then it's like the whole deal is like, do you believe in these killer silver gorilla things?
Yeah.
And they're like, no. And then they get to where they are, and it looks like an Indiana Jones set at this point.
Yeah.
And all these monkeys just come out of nowhere, and then...
Well, no. First, they discover the diamond.
They discover the diamond, and that's when the monkeys get angry.
They're like, oh, boy, cool blue diamond.
Here
and
is
then
the
diamond.
And then they get fucking pissed, right? So, I mean, that's interesting. It's interesting because it was so bad.
Yeah.
And Tim Curry gets mutilated, which was cool, but they don't show the best part. These monkeys just like to smash brains. So and they smash them, like what they'll do is they'll get the person lying on their back, and then they'll just get both hands and swing them against their cheeks and just like smash their brains like that, like two pendulums hitting the face.
That's cool.
Yeah, and Tim Curry gets the shit beat out of him by a group of monkeys, and then Laura Linney puts a diamond in a laser gun and just blasts these monkeys.
Yeah. It's almost kind of disturbing because like. What she creates is basically like a laser cutter. Like she can shoot.
Yeah, it's like Moonraker.
It doesn't seem to have any type of range. Like it will shoot forever, and it just like burns. It's like a plasma blade. Like it'll just cut right through things.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Oh, I know.
And she uses it to kill all of the monkeys, basically.
Fuck yeah.
Everyone. Except for Amy, because she's the nice monkey.
Well, what does she say? She's putting him on the endangered species list.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They have to have the corny 90s.
Yeah. What's the tagline for the Congo movie? Is there one?
It is not readable.
Not readable.
Oh, I think it just says from the creators of Jurassic Park or something.
Okay, that's too bad.
Or from the book, based on the book from Jurassic
the
Park.
Same direct. I mean, yeah. Same writer director. Yeah, that's pretty crazy, man. This is the movie is just so bad, and there's so many things wrong with it. It's just a failed blockbuster in every sense of the word.
Except that they made like $100 million over what they.
Oh
spent.
Yeah, I know, that's fantastic for them. But yeah. They put a quick one on the fans, I think, and it worked. It's successful. But this movie was not very good at all. Then they kill the monkeys and they leave in a hot air balloon.
Yeah, that's the
best
part.
And the other thing is, like, they are they get shot down in a plane on their way to the Congo region.
But the hot air balloon is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
yeah.
doesn't make any sense.
No.
Yeah. And it ended with a really cheese line, too. Cause it's
I can't remember. Here Comes the Wind?
Yeah. It was like they're up in the sky in the hot air balloon.
Yeah.
And then one of them's like, oh, man, here comes the wind. And then the other guy's like, well, I hope it takes us someplace nice.
Yeah. And then it's like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah. It doesn't make
And then
any
they play
sense.
Enya.
Yeah. Might as well.
Yeah. This movie was garbage.
Yeah.
It's just a bad movie.
Yeah,
and there's some always, if you watch a bad movie, there's some redeeming qualities. Like, well, thank God I'm watching. It's funny. Tim Curry is that thing.
Tim Curry is
he's
so
also
funny.
Really racist.
Actually, at a certain point in the movie, he just drops the axe and he's like, I can't.
It's weird.
Do it anymore.
Yeah, he's gonna go back. I can't do it. And then he gets really mad at the black guy, and he's like, shut up, you. And he has like the N, and then it goes to like that the black guy. He's like. I'm a what? Or something like that. And he's like, never mind. But it's so stupid, right? Because it's like...
Well, yeah, it has to be cheesy and dumb, dude.
Yeah,
this is,
like,
yeah.
Say it.
I can't believe anyone... I can't believe anyone, like, in good conscience hyped this the way that they hyped Jurassic Park.
No.
Jurassic Park told an awesome, awesome story that's really just about family and survival. Whereas this is literally just a story about finding some diamonds.
And killing animals
and then
along
killing
the way.
Killing all of the animals in the movie.
Yeah. It's just a lot of, and it's all, once they get to the jungle, they just waste, it's just nothing.
Yeah.
It's, like, amazing because they have so much shit about, like, oh, we're going to get the band together, which is the first act of the movie. About most action adventure movies, I say, have the first act of like let's assimilate, let's all meet up and then let's go.
Yeah,
right?
If it's not something like, you know, Jurassic Park where they're a family.
Oh yeah. This one is like it's get the ragtag group to go on this adventure,
like,
and they do.
Seven Samurai, 13.
Yeah, exactly. Everything.
Except that in
those are
this
great
movie.
Movies.
Yeah. Except in this movie, like none of the people really have any sort of allegiance to one another.
No.
Like Laura Linney's character is basically like a capitalist. Like she's just trying to make bank and find that guy.
That guy who was
and
her ex-fiance.
The nerd guy is just trying to return the monkey. So as far as I could tell, I don't even know why he follows to do anything. He should have just...
No, he doesn't follow. They parachute into the wild and he's like, I'm going to go home now.
No, I know, but like it would have made more sense if he was just like, hey, I got this monkey and I want her to return to the wild.
There are
whatever.
No stakes involved in this. Yeah, there's like, no chemistry. No one cares about each other.
Yeah, and like
the
guide played by Ernie Hudson is the only person who cares about like a cohesion of any sort, and that's because he just needs everyone to follow the rules so they can find
like,
the
he's
diamonds.
The only badass in it because he's the guy who's like, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to go here, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But this was a...
shoot some flares.
None of it makes any sense.
It's
just
fantastic.
It's just a bad movie making.
Yeah.
It's bad movie making.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. This is just a bad movie. It's not like a Sharknado where it's like
kind of awesome.
Yeah, this is just
because
they were
Sharknado,
earnest.
And Sharknado, you can tell they're self-aware almost.
Yeah, and this one they aren't.
They're serious. They're like, this is gonna be great. This is gonna be like Jurassic Park. No one will think this is an enormous joke. And it
right.
is an enormous joke.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was. It's just, they tried. Or if they didn't try, they're just fucking people over for their money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this movie, what are you going to give it?
Man, I'm going to give this a... What did I give the counselor? A three?
A three.
I'm going to give this a 3.5.
I'm going to give it a 4. Yeah. I'll give it a 4.
Yeah.
It's a big budget. There's something in there. It's just Tim Curry is so good.
Tim Curry is hilarious.
It's worth it to watch it. There has to be a supercut of him in
Congo. There's definitely, yeah.
Because he's garbage.
Yeah, he's really bad.
He spits out a bundt cake a little bit in the movie.
Oh, yeah, because like they're at this dictator's... Like
the dictator knows abode, him.
And the dictator knows him as a piece of shit. So he's like, stop eating my sesame cake.
Stop eating my sesame cake. You piece of shit.
It's awesome.
And then he's like, woohoo. I'll spit it out.
Let me spit it out uncomfortably on camera for you guys.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed spending $8 to watch this movie.
Also, there is no like classic for something that follows a formula so much, which is like seems so like, okay. Requisite action scene about like you're in a plane and you're not out of trouble yet, right?
Yeah.
There is no love interest that you think would happen between the professor and Laura Linney. Like, oh, they hate each other at the beginning. You're like, oh, I get it. They're going to fall in love.
No, that would be unrealistic, Andy.
Almost as unrealistic as the Power Glove Lady. And there's always some underlying joke about like that gorilla wanting to fuck the professor.
Yeah.
And like when you weren't
she's
there,
like but, really jealous
of Laura Linney.
Other females.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
Specifically Laura Linney, because she's the only other girl in the movie.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, it's almost like they were going to do a love connection, not with the monkey and the professor, but Professor and Laura Linney. And in the middle, they're like, no, forget it. Yeah. Like, the first act leads up to that, and then after that is nothing.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it's like, oh, maybe they are going to fly in a hot air balloon.
But instead, it's just the three of them going somewhere.
Jesus
Christ.
They
die terrible. In like 10 minutes after they fly through the air because someone's like, oh, shit, a balloon. Let's shoot it.
This is a garbage movie.
It's terrible.
There's nothing. There's like the best thing in the movie is Tim Curry. The worst thing in the movie is all the
movie.
I think
normally we either recommend like the movie or not. I think in this, neither of us are recommending the movie. No. Both of us, however, are recommending a Tim Curry supercut.
Watch the supercut. He's amazing. It's like really the worst good. I've ever seen.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It also helps like his facial expressions.
It's fantastic.
It's majestic.
Oh my God. Yeah. Anyway, that's a solid Netflix review. Yeah. Very solid.
Yeah. Well, thanks everybody for listening. You know, don't see the Congo. Just watch the supercut and
please.
Laugh your balls off.
Yep.
Because it's really funny.
It's good.
Yeah. Thanks always for listening. Appreciate it. Bye.
Bye.